is it's also the time of Lent, this period between now and Easter. And usually the Lent is a time in which it's reflective, it's a time of confession. So let me make a confession from the outset. I don't like being different. I don't like being different. Now, there are some things that I'm different in that I've got used to through many hours of counselling. So, for instance, I like country music. I know not everyone in the world has such good taste as that, but I like country music. For instance, I know that I am one of about a handful of people in the whole of the Southern Hemisphere who do not like trifle. And the catering ladies in this church have come to understand that and know that pretty well. The other thing I know is that when I go snowboarding with my son, Matt, I know that I'm probably the oldest snowboarder on the mountain because it's a young person's sport. I've got used to those things where I'm a bit different. But there's other things where I don't like being different. So, for instance, on Friday night, Karen and I went to a wedding, and the thing that I'm always worried about is, what's the dress code? So I'm not like the women. I don't have to worry about not matching the bridesmaids' dresses, but what's the dress code? I don't want to dress too high. I don't want to dress too low. What? I worry about those things because I don't want to be different. Sometimes, actually, I don't like being different as a minister. So sometimes, in the more formal parts that I have to perform, you know, with the robes and titles and all this, I feel uncomfortable because I don't like being different. Are you like me? Do you prefer to blend in, as it were? To not be different? Well, you see, when you read through this part of the Bible, it actually talks about us being different. It actually talks about us being strange. Let me explain what I mean. If you look at this passage from halfway through chapter 3 and then most of chapter 4, this is a passage that has a lot in it. There's lots of phrases or verses here that you may have heard of before. Have a look with me. Chapter 3, verse 14, blessed are you if you suffer. Verses 15 and 16, it talks about that you should be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have, but to do it with gentleness and respect. That's a well-known part of the Bible. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, there's those messages there from Peter when he says, you know, don't live the behavior of your past life. And then verses 8 to 11, there's all those things about love each other deeply, offer hospitality, use the gifts that you've received. And then verse 16, it says, rejoice if you suffer for the name of Jesus. So there's all this going on in this passage. And as I was looking at it, wondering why did I pick such a big passage that needed to be preached on, I thought to myself, well, what is it that links all this together? Is there one idea that comes through or jumps out? Is there something that God wants us to think about today? And as I prayed about it, and as I read through this passage, one thing jumped out. Have a look with me at chapter 4, verse 4. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. And then verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. So I was reading this passage again and again and reflecting on it and praying about it. It was this twice, this idea of strangeness jumped out. And as I reflected on it and as I looked through it, I thought, hey, that's actually been weaved all the way through 1 Peter. We've already looked in previous weeks at how we are strangers and aliens in this world. And so we've been picking up and playing with the idea of aliens. So this week we're looking at how do you live with non-aliens? And as I thought about it, I thought, actually, as followers of Jesus, we are strange. And then as I thought about it and reflected on it a bit more, I thought to myself, oh, but wait a second, that's also a challenge. As followers of Jesus, are we strange? It makes a big difference to swap those two words around, doesn't it? Let's look at the "we are strange" bit first. Let me look a bit more closely at some of these verses. Chapter 3, verse 14. "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened." Friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, you do not need to fear what others fear. I go to a lot of funerals, funny enough, and the fear of death is a very real fear for a lot of people. But those of us who are followers of Jesus, we have no fear of death. In fact, as followers of Jesus, we don't fear what the world fears. And so therefore, we're actually strange. Verse 15, when it talks about, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have." The hope that you have. Do you realize that as followers of Jesus, we have a hope? By hope, I don't mean like a wish, you know, I hope it doesn't rain next week or whatever. Or actually, I hope it does rain next week. But a hope, something that's like an anchor. And our faith in Christ is an anchor. It cannot be shifted. It cannot be budged. And all that goes with being a follower of Jesus is secure. You have hope. And that makes you strange. Verse 16, it then goes on to talk about good behaviour. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ. That is, our behaviour is actually determined by our relationship with Jesus. The fact that that happens makes you strange. And verse 18, "For Christ died for the sins, for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous," here you go, watch this, "to bring you to God." To bring you to God. It picks up the imagery that you see in the book of Hebrews, where you actually have the confidence to walk into the very throne room of God and to stand in the presence of a holy God. Who can stand in the presence of a holy God? Only those who are holy. And how are we made holy? Through Christ who died for sin. You know what? That makes you strange. Have a look with me at chapter 4, verse 2. "As a result," the Christian it's talking about here, "does not live the rest of their earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." How strange you are if your life is led by wanting to do the will of God rather than what you want. What did Jesus say to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane? "Not my will, but your will be done." And friends, if you are a follower of Jesus and doing the will of God, you are strange in this world. Then you've got all these sort of commands and encouragements from verse 7 onwards. Be clear-minded, self-controlled. Above all, love each other deeply. Isn't that incredible? Love each other deeply. You know what that means? Don't just put up with each other. If you've got something between others in the body of Christ, then love each other deeply and work at it. Goes on to say, offer hospitality without grumbling. Use the gifts that God has given you to minister to others and so forth. You actually live a life that is other person focused. You know what? That makes you strange. And then verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If he serves, and if you go down, it talks about so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. It's all about praising God. the number one focus is God. And then finally, in verse 14, if anyone is insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. As a follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God rests on you and in you. You are strange. And I know I said finally, but there was one more. Verse 16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name, that you bear the name Christian. I have met people in various parts of my time who have inherited a family name, a dynasty, a legacy that goes with a name. You know what I'm talking about? If you're a follower of Jesus, you too have a name. Name that comes with a legacy, but boy, it's a great legacy. It's a great legacy. It's a legacy of life. It's a legacy of hope. It's a legacy of forgiveness. And you bear that name. And you know what? That makes you strange in this world. And there are other things that we could have mentioned that actually aren't even in this passage, but are in other biblical passages. The fact that you gather together each week to encourage one another and to build one another up. Guess what? That makes you strange. Because what are the rest of the people doing? Sleeping in, or they're having brunch? The fact that you pray and you actually believe that God hears you and answers makes you strange. The fact that you forgive makes you strange. The fact that you believe in the sanctity of life makes you strange. The fact that you believe in sexual purity makes you strange. And the list is almost endless. You are strange in this world. And we need to come to terms with that. Now, I know that some Christians are strange for a whole lot of other reasons. Sadly. But we actually, because of our faith in Christ, what we believe, and how we live for God's will and His glory, that makes us strange in this world. And we shouldn't be surprised by that, Peter says. Don't be surprised by that. And be comforted. Some of you need to hear that today. Be encouraged. There's a very good reason why you're different and why you're strange. I was speaking to someone just briefly over morning tea this morning, and they said how they were bullied at school all the time for being a Christian, for being strange. They bore the name of Christ. And they were encouraged by that because they know they suffered for and with Christ. And we too may actually end up suffering. It may not be outright bullying, it might not even be persecution like some of the churches that we pray for. But we too will actually probably suffer at some stage for our faith in Jesus because we are strange. It might be at work, it might be at school, it might be at the local club, it might be in our street, wherever. So be encouraged. You are strange because you bear the name of Christ. But are we strange? It's a good question to ask too. You see, have we just become so accustomed to what's around us that you can't tell the difference between those who follow Christ and those who don't? Are we no longer strange? Would our workmates be able to see the difference? Would the people we see at the sporting club know the difference? Would those in our playgroup know the difference? Would those in our street know the difference? Wherever it is that God plants us, would they know the difference? Yeah, they'll know the difference for the Christians who just are outright strange and sometimes acting like jerks, unfortunately. But what about us? You know, there's an old question. If you were on trial, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you as a follower of Jesus? Good question to ask. Another way of saying it is, are you strange? See, we're coming to a period of what we call Lent, and Lent leads up to this Easter period, to this Easter weekend. And the Easter weekend is an incredible weekend because you see both extremes, don't you? There are some for whom Easter is a great time because they get the time off work and they go away camping, even though it rains. And for others, Easter is a time of reflection and confession and celebration and joy, all bound up in one. Because their Saviour is risen. They're the strange ones. Are we the strange ones? As I come to the end of this passage, you know, sometimes preachers like to have like a little pithy ending. I ain't got one today, sorry. Sometimes we like to have a really good story. I haven't got one of those either. I've simply got this question and this statement. As followers of Jesus, we are strange. For some of us in the room, we need to be encouraged in that. And as followers of Jesus, are we strange? And for some of us in the room, we might be needing to do some work on that. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the life that is ours in Jesus. And Father, in the eyes of this world, that makes us strange in so many ways. And yet, Lord, we rejoice in that. We bear your name gladly. We seek to do your will. And we seek to watch out for others around us, to offer hospitality and to love each other deeply and to forgive. And Father, I pray for those of us as we gather here today who need to hear that and be encouraged that even though, Lord, they are strangers in this world and aliens in this world, that is okay because they are part of your family. Strengthen them, Lord. May your Spirit strengthen them at this time for the trials that are ahead of them. And for others of us in the room, Lord, your Spirit has been speaking, but in a very different way. And Lord, been showing us maybe we're not as strange as we need to be. Father, are there actions, are there thoughts, are there attitudes, are there parts of our lives we have not surrendered to you? Lord, we pray that your Spirit would gently firmly rebuke us and empower us to once again live for you.